I have asked that actually they get called, because others are still standing for nowhere to start. Honorable Mulala, I saw him, is here. Honorable Kumbu is here. In fact, the Honorable Kubeka went to the other side, but she's here. She's joining us in time now, so we'll take note of that. That having been said, it then takes us to the agenda back again on the item. So we've noted the approaches. So let me allow you to settle on the rules. Can we then get back to the meeting? Maybe just as I finish up my opening remarks, also to welcome back Honorable Fana Mkwena. We did receive an apology in the previous session, but we've never acknowledged this part, because bereavement of her mother is an important aspect to note, that it is not just absent, but it was an important aspect to deal with, I think. Our condolences still flow through as a committee in that regard. Honorable members, we will now deal with the items as in the program that's before you. I take it that you have the program. But just to outline that, we will first deal with the adoption of the budget review and recommendations report for the Department of Communications and Telecommunications side, and therefore that's the part on the BRRR, and then from there would also deal with the quarterly reports. And I'm aware that in you receiving the documents, you would have received the DTPS one first, and therefore the other documents would have followed. So we'll start from that one in particular. So if you can just check your... Yes. Honorable
Mackenzie. It's so warm in here, sir.
I'm busy with them. There was on the aircon and it's just switched off, so I'm on the line with them. And I leave the door open before.
Honorable Mackenzie, I know your request is being addressed. I know the other things must not arise. So it will be dealt with in that regard. Right? Oh, Honorable Van Damme, you are welcome to bed. Sorry for that. We got an apology, thought, and it's coming. But finally, thanks for being there. I'm sure you'd forget about the outside world. I'll deal with what you're faced with in the country. Deal with what is in the country. Okay. Honorable members, we now go to the report on GPS, and would take the report on a page by page, but would still want to spend more time on the observations and recommendations of the committee, because that's what the House in the main will have to consider. Okay. I've just been briefed that indeed other members would have complied to the submission of corrections, especially grammatical corrections. Those would be also factored in. But as I said, probably we'll spend more of time on observations of the committee as well as the recommendations that we're taking to the House. Of course, not saying that we shouldn't look at anything else to be corrected. On that document, honourable members, the one from telecommunications and postal services. Right. If you have matters to raise on a particular page, you just raise the hand and say page so and so, so that we just go to that page. Will that help the meeting so that we're able to move forward? We are now on page 1, where it talks to introduction and purpose of the report. On page 2, and now on page 3, on page 4, on page 5, page 6, on page 7. Any matter to raise on page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11 on performance, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, on page 16, page 17, page 18 on programs, page 18, okay, you want to go to page, or you want to go page 15, now we can go, I said you'll indicate the page you'd want to go to. All right. Page 15, Honorable Mulai.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Page 15, it's Roman figure 14. That CETA prohibited service level agreement that were not signed with poor performance and targets. So, yes. Okay. Yeah. Telecommunications.
Yes.
And postal services.
We are dealing with the quarterly report, and we are on the PRRR report.
I have the wrong one.
Yes.
Okay, no thanks.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. It helps us to wake up also. I'm saying you are helping us also to wake up, so that we differentiate the report. Back there, page 18.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
I'm very confused. Are we on communications or telecommunications? Telecommunications.
Honorable Mackenzie, I'd ask that because that was the first report you received and you went through
yes.
it, and that we start with that report and then the other report would follow.
Sorry, Chair, I'm listening. Can I just ask a clarification question?
Yes.
I did send through track changes last night, have those been included? Do I need to recall those, or can we just take them as? Do I need to go through every single one of those changes?
All right. Honorable McKenzie.
Yes, sir.
I knew that you were one of those who complied. I indicated that those members who have complied with the submission of the corrections, which were mainly grammatical corrections that you needed to put, have been received, would be factored in, but would want the committee in the main to spend time on the observations we have made and the recommendations, which are for the consideration of the House. However, because members may want to raise certain things, I don't want anybody to say I jumped the page where you wanted to speak. I understand with the heat, Honorable McKenzie. Remember, we have an understanding on that matter. That your request is being addressed, it may affect this. I think I did say so. If we can then proceed, it does go. It's unless members are saying because they have gone through the documents and submitted grammatical corrections, they want us to go straight to the observations and check if that reflects us and the recommendations. Right. Remember, I'm chairing, yes, but also guided by the House, so that I do not take you straight when you don't want to. Like to get straight to the issue. So that's basically that. But we're on page 20 of this report. The principal R. Can you continue then? Okay. Let me continue. That's cool. We are on page 20. Page 21. On page 22, on page 23, sample, page 24, on page 25, page 26, anything to raise on page 27, on page 28, page 29, page 30, on page 31, page 32, on page 33, page 34, page 35 from yourself, page 36, on page 37, and now on page 38, page 39, page 40, page 41, the finances, page 42, page 43, on page 44, on page 45, page 46, on page 47, we're now on page 48, page 49, page 50, on page 51, we're now on page 52, page 53, on page 54, page 55, so we are now on that point, as you said, where we need to also spend time on the recommendations. For that reason, on the observations, I would still want to go a bit slow, just to understand that we are on the same day. The first observation relates to the department itself. I'll just check if there are matters to raise there. That's on page 54 on the observations. now on page 55, that continues to talk to the department on top there. Then SAPO, 10.2. Page 58, the observations on Musasa, Yusuf, Namisa, Dr. Redman. Which therefore takes us to what are we recommending to the House, which is now on page 59. Firstly, again on the department, to check if the committee is able with the recommendations taken to the House. Honourable McKenzie, one.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just make a suggestion? Under sorry, my glasses. 11.1.1. The department and its entities develop an effective action for improving financial statements. I think what we were trying to convey was the financial capacity within the organisation. Because I remember asking the Auditor General if, in their opinion, they considered that the entities or the department had enough qualified financial people to be able to prepare the audit, because we saw a significant improvement in audit outcomes once the Auditor General had engaged with the department and the entities. So it's more than just statements. It's probably improved financial reporting might be a better word. I'm not sure whether you would concur. Thank you, Chair.
With the other members of the committee. I take it that it's not really a fundamental amendment, but just to emphasize the point that it's not about statements, but financial and the financial report. The committee. I take it that the committee agrees that that's the understanding, so that we make the amendment. Okay. Any other matter on that side of the department, the recommendations? Sapo. Recommendations there. Honourable McKenzie will be one.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the first point, ensure that fraud allegations, I think those fraud allegations were related specifically to grant payments and grant cards. So it wasn't a sort of general fraud at the post office. So it was related to grants. So perhaps we can define that. So ensure that the fraud allegations around grant payments. So insert that. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. specific so that it's not like we're generalizing the problem. Are there objections to that? I think we're fine. Okay. Yeah, thanks so much, McKenzie. So Sapo continues to page 60. May I just check? If not mistaken, Sapo is one of those, or we'll deal with it anyway when we deal with minutes. It's one of those that we said should still come back before the committee, as well as the USASA and CETA, right? Yes, the three. We said they should still come back to the committee. Probably we'll deal with that maybe when we deal with minutes. Otherwise, we can't recommend about the committee itself to the House, because those are matters we can deal with. Any matters to raise on 11.3? Santec? So if there are no issues on page 60, the CETA continues to page 61. On 11.5, Dr. Zetna.
Yes, on page 60, Roman figure 2. I don't know. CETA. Ensure that CETA is a new chairperson of the board as the position of outgoing chairperson comes to an end. I don't know whether it is properly captured because it doesn't further explain whether this is instructive or it's just a proposal, because the term will end at the end of this minute. Now, I'm not very clear what we were saying. We're saying they must ensure they advertise the position of the chairperson. So maybe if the administration can clarify what they mean here, maybe I'll be more clear in terms of that resolution, because I don't know whether it says our recommendation is that they should immediately advertise because the position already is coming to an end.
Yeah, I just wanted to be sure of my facts, but I think it's verified now. That the part that deals with the chair, remember, it's the appointment of a chair is a responsibility also not of the committee to advertise. So that's what I wanted to check first. Because the chair, remember, said, as I'm reporting here, I'm an outgoing chair, but it did not indicate the collapse of the board in totality, where we need to look at that. But Honorable McKenzie, you wanted to speak on the same matter? You're covered. Okay. But I just also wanted to indicate that the operative word is on top, that must, that we're saying it must be addressed as we move. Honorable Mukwena.
No, Chair, just to take you back, I apologize. On page 60, under SAPO, yeah. Roman figure XX, I think it's 20, is it? It's 20. 20. Okay. yeah, I was in the meeting, but I seem to remember it saying that it must expedite the finalization of the post-bank license application. Not just monitor. I think it was about the speed at which it's being done.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I was saying, I think the issue of 20, the finalization, I think it's done.
What is raising on that 20, okay. And then yeah, we'll clarify the point that you're making now, because that's the feedback.
No, I was just saying that in the meeting, it wasn't saying that it must be monitored. It was to say that it must be expedited. That is the word I'm looking for. Instead of monitor, it must be expedited.
I think we now have an understanding there. But just remember that in the minutes it will still come back, especially when we get to the consultant report, that we still had an issue even with Treasury on whether separation or... Yes. So I'm just saying it's covered in that sense, that we remove the monitoring so that it's not like it has happened completely, but we expedite, and therefore the monitoring would be an action in the main that would follow through. With that, I think we... It should be fine. On page 60, any other matters you still want to raise there? And on page 61. Page 62. On your sofa, stroke yourself. Please, what is also missing would be that because we are taking it to the House, it's for the report to be considered by the House. I think right at the end. I also want to remind members, because we'll get to the other one also, that in the main, as it relates to entities, the major decision we are trying to push forward as our recommendation is the merger to be expedited also. So that you avoid duplication. Now, this is important in keeping it at the back of our minds that in the red list, I'm sure you saw the cabinet statement, that in some of these recommendations we're speaking to, some boards have now been appointed. And I think we still need to get from the department what does it mean to the program of matching if you are appointing, what would be the transition. Process. I don't think we should leave it like that as a committee. We should make sure that we can account for the decisions that we make. So I'm just saying members should also take note of that. It shouldn't be like we didn't see it from that point. That takes Honorable Mlala.
Yeah, sorry to take you back a little bit. I'm just on CETA 11.4. I think there were two issues that we raised. Maybe, in my view, they are not reflected here. The one area is in terms of the presentation of both the chairperson of the board and the CEO. They were quite far apart from each other. I don't know how we'll phrase that. The CEO was presenting
a very nice sort of picture that we are working towards correcting. But when the chair presented, he was forthright. He said there's a crisis here, intimidation and all those things. Now, in terms of the minutes, surely that should be reflected, because I personally raised that matter with them in the committee, if I still recall very well. The second issue was around irregular expenditure. Maybe I know they may not use the words we used in the meeting, but we were worried that this irregular expenditure is just being reported but doesn't get into the actual details, because the process of addressing irregular expenditure goes to a person who has actually done that irregular expenditure, a report to the whoever, CEO or HOD. There's a process that must be followed, so that in the next meeting when we meet with them, we are very clear where the actual intimidation comes from. Because if you just hide and say the irregular expenditure and then we leave it, and somebody is being threatened as a result of addressing that, from where I'm sitting, maybe we may need to find a way of adding that element so that we are also being helpful in terms of resolving that that impasse. Those are the two areas where I think maybe we might need to find an expression. Thanks.
I take it that some of the points were raised earlier on are more the observations, because that departure between the chair and the CEO will be observation. I think the same observations were made in the meeting on USASA, if you remember, itself, where the chair will present a direction that talks to consultation, and on the side of the executives there, it's about maintaining the status quo going forward. But just remember, Honorable Mlan, that it is those that we said will call them back so that we engage the actual detail. But I'm just saying that if you talk, for example, the irregular expenditure, it may be an issue of saying whether you think X1 on page 61 is not adequately addressing it and maybe just enrich that. I'm saying as it relates to the irregular expenditure in the data. And the following one, the X1, X2. I'm just saying, if you think that those points are not adequately addressing the point you want us to try, I'm saying over and above that, we'll call them for such details. I'm saying on the CETA, irregular expenditure is mentioned on those, whether you think we should beef it up.
Yeah, I think in the first one, covered. I'm okay with that one. Can maybe it's reflected in the observation. We did not go through details in terms of the observation. But on this one, we were very specific on the details of that irregular expenditure. Now, if you just say resolve the recurring regular expenditure, the long-term sort of, or in future, resolve. But in terms of our resolution, we're specific that when they come next time, there must be specific processes that have been followed. If it includes even naming and shaming, so that we know exactly who were involved in that. Not that we are going to take action, but we said at least there must be a report on specifics in that irregular expenditure. So if we just say expedite and say resolve the recurring expenditure pattern, in the next meeting they may say no, we are still resolving, but there will be no specific report that speaks to the committee about what that irregular expenditure entails. So maybe the addition, the sentence is okay, but maybe we just need that element that when they come next time, at least there must be a detailed sort of a report on that irregular expenditure. Thanks, Chair.
We just have to work on the reconstruction of the sentence to carry that spirit of what you are raising in expanding on the regime. That was on page 61. Not report. Okay. Then that takes us to Honorable Mackenzie.
Yes,
that takes us to I don't know what. Just said I must do that name in shape on the lighter note. But just goes back to is the draft budget review and recommendations report on the communications one. That's the one with the cover page dated 22 October. Just want to be sure that we are having the same. I think with the experience of the first one, I'm sure you now know we move a bit faster on those, but spend time on the observations and recommendations. Are we there, members? On page one, on page two, on page 3, on page 4, page 5, on page 6, page 7, on page 8, page 9 in program performance. Page 10, page 11, page 12, on page 13, page 14 for the finances, page 15, that's where AXA report starts. Page 16, page 17, page 18, page 19, page 20, page 21. 22, on page 23, page 24, page 25, page 26, and now on page 27, page 28, page 29, page 30, page 31, page 32, page 33 on CASA, page 34, page 35, and now on page 36, page 37, and page 38, page 39, page 40, page 41, page 42. Page 43, SABC. Page 44. Now on page 45. Page 46. Page 47. As you can see on page 47, we now start with the observations that the committee has made. On 9.1 is observations on the finance, the FPB on, take note of, not off, stop them making observations. Honourable members, on 9.1, compatible with the observations. But I'm just reminding the meeting that whilst they reported the clean audit, part of the worry we had was the non-achievement of a number of targets. And I'm sure you remember that the basis for that discussion was that clean audit has to be balanced with delivery. Right? So I think that point is missing there. That's an observation we're making, so that they also improve on that. But they also reported that there was new irregular expenditure that has just occurred, which was worrying in that it can take us back to yellow or hot disclaimer, so to say, if not addressed. So that when we make the recommendations we're making, we also take into account those observations. I just wanted to be sure that we are one on that as a committee, that that's what we think. Honorable Fanda?
Are we going to include that here? Because it's not included. It's very vague. Or is it you going to say? Okay, thanks, Chair.
That members still are one on that, so that we don't leave any there. Otherwise, it would look like we just were interested in the clean audit, but we didn't interrogate the report when we did. Honorable Faku?
The other issue, Chairperson, was the issue of expenditure of the board. Remember, the increase was very high. Remember when I raised it? It must also be highlighted on issues they are spending most of their budget. The issue of board. So, remember when I asked the question? Yeah.
I think that's it. So that when we look at their mandate, we are also sure that we are not just servicing both, but the program that they need to engage in. I think it's noted. The report should then be amended to reflect as such. If we are fine with that, we'll now go to 9.2. ICASA. Observations on ICASA. And it takes us on page 47. It then takes us to page 48. Observations on the SABC. Okay, there's a hand there.
Thank you. While I was not at the meeting, with regards to DTT, as I recall, the major problem is that there isn't sufficient budget allocated to it. So I don't know if the SABC actually has a budget for it and whether it's been budgeted for. So I think that's a critical point to make, the fact that budget needs to be actually allocated to DTT. And the fact of the matter is the technology has moved forward. So what they actually, I think ICASA needs to do, or the ministry needs to do, is kind of redraft the policy and look at what new technologies have been come up with, what has been come up with. because what was relevant back then is no longer relevant. Things have moved forward. So there's no budget. I mean, we can say that to the SABC, but it won't happen.
Okay. I think whilst that gets to be noted as a concern, we just did, and Honorable Van Damme, I do take your point you've raised that probably because we're not in the meeting. Part of what the SABC would have raised, I think that's a meeting you were in before you left. Remember there were discussions about technology having moved, maybe satellites instead of looking at what you look at. Honorable members were making contributions on the day. But there was an understanding that you also do not undermine the infrastructure that you've invested in at this point in time. And the ministry, the understanding was that firstly there is a technical team that looks at this DTT issue to look at what could be done now, the model and all that that needs to be looked at. Secondly, there was an issue about the cabinet itself looking at this new model in terms of policy so that it addresses that point. But we could not ignore the point that SABC itself raised about the implications of not moving on DTT in terms of what they do in their work, especially their competitive.
So whatever's in the realm of responsibility.
Yes, so that within what is in their frame of responsibility. But the ministry has been doing that.
Okay.
But I think other matters, once we get to the recommendations, I think we should be able then to unpack them even better. Because they're there. All right. If that assists the meeting, may I just check if there are further observations to make on SABC? Then that leads us to the recommendation. We are now still on page 48. The first recommendation relates to the department and its entities in relation to AXA and so on. So I want to take on number 10 now. I want to take hands that would want to speak to the recommendations to the department. Honorable Mlala, then followed by Honorable
Fama. Yeah, Chair. Roman figure 4 and 5, I think the caption is all right. The only thing that is missing there is you're saying they should table proposal and motivation as to what the department is to achieve through proposed measures, but it doesn't say how often will that happen. Is it going to happen on the 31st of March when they have completed, or in between now and end of March, there should be some briefing as to progress in relation to the measures. What are the proposals? Because these are proposals, they are not final decisions. So maybe if we could add that element into the proposal, I would be okay, because it says the proposals and motivations should be presented to the committee. Now, you need to know how often they present up to the 31st of March, so that we don't wait until 31st of March, everything is finalized, then, so I just need that amendment.
I think we hit the point.
Thanks, Chair. Can we then include the point I was making here that they need to draft that policy and maybe table to us by the beginning of the next financial year? I think it's an important point to make because South Africa has been waiting, missed the deadlines. So if we can just say that, like you mentioned, that they've got that working committee, I think you said, working on looking at the new technologies. So if we can just make that point here that they need to table a policy.
So that we are sure we are one also on this one. I don't think it's to move it out, maybe just change a bit. in that we already were informed that it's in the cabinet realm. I think what we need is an update on that policy so that we know if it's there or it's not there, like it has been. Yes. So that, yes, we must be presented to the final cabinet. Honorable Mlala, I'm not sure if it would cover the point that maybe instead of amending those recommendations you were speaking to, that maybe we add a separate one that talks to the timelines. That the committee, maybe in 30 days after adoption of the report, because I'm sending the report to the House, that we get feedback from the ministry on these matters. If the feedback says, because remember we also adopted milestones on the measures, and we said we'll monitor those milestones because they had specific dates that this will be achieved by a particular date. But maybe as a way of binding the report we need to get, maybe put the timeline as a separate point that all these matters be reported 30 days after the adoption by the House. Will that help the committee? Okay, with that addition, of course, on the policy. So then it means you have added 2 points. Agreed? Then that takes us to ICASA. That will be now page 49, where the actual report recommendations start. Okay, on ICASA. Honorable Mlala.
Yeah, on ICASA, sorry, Chair. Roman figure 2. I think the caption is okay. It must ensure that the performance management system approved by committee signed by blah, 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 blah. But my worry here is that in the same meeting, I think there was a contradictory explanation from both the minister and the department on why they don't have a performance agreement. And I'm not so sure whether we just agreed they must have a performance agreement, but we did not agree on how far, when are they going to have that, or we just said, no, it's fine, they must just have it, and then it's okay. But I remember there was an explanation why they did not have the performance agreement. I even asked why they are doing their own performance agreement. So they are monitored. The 91.5 what percent that they got is out of what they say they normally do. But there's no measure in terms of performance. So I don't know, Chair, but I would propose that maybe there must be clear timelines as well here, to say at least by the new financial year there must be some form. It's just that I could not recall what the explanation was, why they did not have it. Maybe if that can be added, I can step aside. But for now, I think we need to have some timeline to say, otherwise even the next financial year we'll still be discussing them not having a performance agreement.
All right. No, I think you are on point there. I think the amendment that we really spoke to after that discussion, because remember it was also linked with MTESF and that, right, that we are targeting the new financial year, which is the 1st of April. So you allow the process now until the end of March to be finalized. But by the 1st of April, especially because it does affect even the other item we're going to deal with, that you have new councillors and so on. But just to remind the committee, this was in appreciation of the fact that the last one that was there lapsed in 2014. And in that period, we didn't have anything. So, and the committee saw it as something that will catch up with us in terms of the act itself. But, yeah, so that is, I think, the issue there. So we agree with you, it's just an amendment on the thing, just to add the timeline on that one specifically. Yes. Yeah, 1st of April, isn't it? That's when you finish. Yes. Okay. You wanted to finish something. Okay. The, just before you come back.
No, I wanted to come just on what you presented. And not necessarily disagreeing with what you are saying.
I just wanted to explain something so that when you come back, in case you want to cover that point also, you can do that.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Members. Members will notice that that recommendation, different from others, carries a must. It raises on the CASA, the committee recommends that the minister must ensure that there was a performance management system approved by a committee and signed by all CASA councillors by 1 April. And the reason here that we really put that must there because this is a legislative requirement. So I just wanted to explain that. Thank you, sir.
Well, so if you can.
Yeah, I think the explanation is fine. I nearly said honorable. You are not yet honorable. the explanation is okay. But my fear, Chair, was that we will wait until April when everything else has been finalized. So there should be a process between now and April. Because it speaks to a similar incident with the previous one. It means if the deadline is end of April, between now and end of April, are we not going through the process, seeing the draft and going through the process so that by end of April, it will be the legislative part now. By that period, that process must have been finalized. So I don't think we are contradicting each other. I think we are together. So my worry is between now and April, what happens? We are waiting until that process is concluded. So maybe if that can be clarified, that would be fine. Because if legislation says end of April, does it mean we must wait until it's finalized end of April, and then we are fine?
Maybe let's just clarify, Honorable Mulan. The issue about the legislation is exactly what we said as a committee at the time, that you need to have this performance system in place. And remember that it's also evaluated every year, right? Which has not been the case since that period. And that's why we brought it back here. So that's the part about legislation. It's not about the timelines. The timelines is what we are putting forward as a committee. That because there was an issue raised about the MTESF, we then need to put it that by the 1st of April you would have done with this part. But just remember its conclusion at that point. But therefore, preceding actions would be that, as the Act requires, is that it is sent to us, so we represent the Assembly. Right? So the Minister at the time, remember, said, we're working on the framework already, but because of the MTSF thing, that would be the issue. So I'm just saying it doesn't change in terms of impact that we have put the timelines, but the other work is actually the actions that must follow as a result of the committee work that we need to do. Necessarily, we do not need to bring to the House almost everything that the committee itself must do, right? Because when I say the committee left it from 2014. So I'm sure you understand what I mean. Our successors here now, a committee. But we are now taking a decision to rectify the situation, but informed by these facts. Because it also doesn't make sense that we say probably next month we get the report when we know that report may not be possible next month, right? So once we have agreed on this and we receive this report in the 30-day period, after it's adopted by the House, then it means we will now get a proper action plan. This is what we'll do by this time. This is what we'll do by this time. Then the committee has the reason to monitor that. We don't wait until the 1st of April. Would not do that. But it may not be necessarily an issue. We need to unpack the detail in the actual recommendation. I just hope that other members also get the point I'm trying to drive. So that at least the recommendation can be easily read and understood by the House, but the other actions will be more what we do as the committee going forward. But putting that timeline, I think, was an important intervention so that we don't leave it out. Agreed? Okay. So that was on ICASA. Yes. Honorable McKenzie?
Thank you, Chair. If I can just talk to point 7B11. Should ensure that there was sufficient funding for ICASA and licensing of high-demand spectrum. It's not the licensing, but it's the system or the process of licensing. You know, for example, if it's an auction, you need funding to conduct that auction. I think that's what we're talking about here. So perhaps we could put, and the process for licensing high-demand spectrum. And then also at the end of that, that and is superfluous. You can take it out, Chair. Thank you. Same point, 7. Thank you.
I don't see an objection. Because just announcing and clarifying further what we are seeking to say to the House. With that having agreed, we're now on 10.2. Say. Honorable Fandal, one. So we are on page 49. Let me just check there. On page 49, on SABC, nothing. We are on that page.
Yeah.
All right. Honorable Fandal.
Thanks, Chair. I think the public is obviously very worried about bailouts awarded to SOEs. And I think we need to make a very, very clear point that we will monitor the expenditure. So proper oversight, there's an extra O there. Oversight? So, oversight. Maybe that's what is emphasis. Yeah, oversight. Yeah. Oversight. So I think we need to include that. Maybe we'll request bi-monthly reports so that the public can see that we are making sure that this money is spent properly. Because if in a few years' time, again, the SABC comes to Parliament or Treasury cap in hand, they'll say, what did we do? So if we can just say that we are going to monitor it properly, we will get, I don't know, once a month. I think quarterly might be too long. If we can just get, I don't know, I think we need to put a specific time frame. If we say every 2 months or whatever the committee agrees to. But I think we need to make sure that there's continued oversight on it.
I'm not sure if that will help the meeting. If you turn the page to page 50. 50, 50. I'm saying that's on top there on 2. That's what I'm trying to draw attention to is now Honorable Fandam, maybe this will help you. No, I'm saying this would help you. I'm trying to combine what you are raising with what has been raised. Your reference is not just the expenditure in SABC. That expenditure is related. You are specifically saying bailout. That bailout is linked with conditions from Treasury. It's linked to, and those conditions, amongst other things, is about their turnaround strategy. Now, the point I'm trying to get to is the reports you need as a committee, whether it's monthly or what, which anyway, I still say monthly, I'm waiting for a quarter. What I'm trying to check there is whether we do not need to reword recommendation 2 instead of changing recommendation 1. That's the point I'm making. Not that we do understand what we tell you.
No, Chair, I think those are two different things because the preconditions, they have to meet certain targets. I'm just saying the actual money because they were given this $3 billion and given that We are all concerned. I think everyone here is concerned of the of SOEs continuously coming to get money. So I think we need to make a very strong point as the committee that has oversight over the SABC that we want to watch very carefully how they spend their money. And if we see any corruption, anything that goes wrong, we will take action. So that these people don't come back to us again in a few years' time and say they need more money. I think it's different from the preconditions.
So in essence, you are not changing the preconditions. That's what I wanted to get to. So you are talking to the oversight, and that instead we also include monthly reports on the expenditure of the money. I don't think the committee would have a problem with that. Right? So I take it that you agree. We'll get reports. In fact, we raised it when we were meeting with the SAPC, that we got worried that in the media, the sense was, you've just received the money, but you have got legal claims against you, so the money is going there than going to where it's supposed to go to, which they gave an assurance that that's not the case. But you're saying to have that assurance, it's when we receive those monthly reports. So I don't think it's a problem. Okay? But it doesn't change then that other recommendation. Are we agreed? Honorable Mlar?
Yeah, Chair, I think it's fine. We're agreeing on that because I think you are talking the same thing but in different ways. Maybe it's English, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We'll learn more English. Yeah. But you and Fandama are speaking the same thing. It's just that you are saying it in different way. Chair, I don't know, man. I'm taking a little bit backwards on SAPC because I'm recalling something. On the observation, because I think maybe we need to note that every time we meet SABC, the following day there's contradictory statements on the board, and it should be a matter of concern. Some board members said to be have written to the minister, some issue media statement saying the CEO must go, all those things. In terms of the observation, I think it must be noted. It's a very important aspect because their performance also will be based on the cohesiveness of that board. So if we continue leaving that matter, at some stage it will catch up with us. So maybe just as an observation, I'm not saying we must take any action. All I'm saying in terms of observation, this is what we have observed as the committee so that they can also note that. We are observing what they are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to emphasize on the issue that was just raised, Chair, because even in our previous committee, when some of the board members did not attend, and these ones who did not attend are the ones that will go on media statements. So I think we need to make sure that perhaps at some point in the committee, we request that all board members to come to the committee so that, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that we don't get back to this point, can we agree that on the observation, yes, we agree, we put that in, but maybe in the part of recommendations, so that we don't leave it like that. That remember, we've not really gone out as the committee to do oversight. SABC may be one of those. Maybe that's probably the recommendation we need to put forward. I don't want us to send contradicting messages. Remember one time the committee complained that you have a full house of people and it's a cost. And for a struggling entity, where they must all come here, the bookings and so on, something like that. But I'm just saying that the point you are making is that until you've interacted with other board members, we would not know. Now, it's not to say that point is not taken. I'm just saying to have a different way of taking it forward so that we don't just leave it. It stays in the recommendations, actual recommendations now, which we didn't put. That maybe that's one space we need to prioritize for oversight in a way that helps us to interact also with other board members and so on. Right. So I'm just saying maybe assist on that because I do not think that you were just talking about calling those other board members. It's about the full board And I remember the committee also said at the time, we're dealing with the matter, that sometimes also needs to understand the workers, not just the board, but the workers, because some of the things that get raised relates to processes in the SAPC itself, even outside the board. But it's unless I'm not capturing what has been the discussion throughout. Honorable Mlahla, I'm distorting it.
You have captured it, Chair. It's just that, Chair, you are a bit diplomatic. Let me put it literal so that it's clear. In terms of observation, we agree it must be recorded that we have observed this. In terms of recommendation, it's oversight. I'm just simplifying what you are saying, but I fully agree with you. It's just that I'm putting it so that it does not confuse anyone, because the diplomacy is quite high. Thanks, Chair.
We're saying the same thing. That's what we're managing, how we're saying it. Well, if that's agreed, it takes us to FPP. Any matters there? I'm sure the 2 points we raised earlier on, we said we'll bring back as recommendations on the issue of not achieving targets, that they need to balance the two, but also on them giving us an action plan on how they are addressing the new irregular expenditure picked up in order to maintain clean audit. Right, is that agreed? On 10.4 MDDA, so that I see a combination of previous recommendations of the fifth and coming in, so we may not be at the same level ourselves, so they're coming to us for the first time. That's what I saw when I read it. Honorable Mlahla?
Yeah, just on a matter of consistency, Chair. On FPB, we are saying that MDDA, sorry. We're saying we need a detailed report on the matter of bodyguards for acting CEO. I don't know how we missed this, because there was also a threat to, I don't know if it's a CETA or a similar threat. Are we not going to be accused of not being consistent here? Because here we are talking about the CEO who's been guarded. On the other side, I don't know how security matters work. Maybe these ones have applied to be guarded and others have not. But I'm just raising an issue of consistency, that the similar threats are appearing on both these entities. I'm not saying this caption is wrong, it's correct. I'm just saying tomorrow we should not be accused of inconsistency. On this one, there's this bodyguards and we are quiet about it on video. In fact, we need the report, and then on this one we are just quiet. So I'm just raising a matter of principle. I'm not against this caption.
Anyone who wants to speak on the matter, that's a matter I did corrected. I was saying we're new, but this matter must be corrected, because it shouldn't be like it's our recommendation. There's a mix up there. Honorable
Okay, if there are threats on the lives of people, I think we need to be far firmer. As you recall, at the SABC, there was the assassination of the chief legal officer this year. So, and another recommendation which was outstanding from the last parliament is that there was supposed to be an investigation of the former chairperson. So if there's threats on people's lives, I think we must call for that investigation to happen, and then maybe appeal to the Minister of Police or the, what do you call it? for SAPS to investigate, the commissioner, the police commissioner, to make sure that this matter is investigated.
I want Honorable Mlala, because you raised the point. I think the issue about security in general, remember this question you asked it lightly to the chair. Are you afraid? Will there be problems? And the chair said, no, I'm not saying I'm afraid. But all I think the point being made here is that there is a security risk assessment that gets done. I think that's what the CITA's response was on that day. But with regards to the MTTA, that's why I said those who would have been in the fifth parliament probably would know that it's an issue that they raised at that time, not necessarily in the presentations that we have received. So instead of it being an issue that we are raising as new, I think the point of seeing whether that matter would have been closed out and whether similar threats may be there in the current, because remember there's been a change now, secondment of a person from the department. Right? So I just thought we need to have that clarity. Because when I saw the recommendation and I saw it that it was also in the previous one, but in the legacy report, there's not been a report that says whether those matters were dealt with and whether that threat is not the case as we speak. Because when you investigate it, board members and other people in the institutions, I'm sure you hear the presentation, is that there's also a fight back in the process, which then threatens lives of people. So it's not like one treated differently. I just want it to be based on record. But it's not that it comes from another process, that where it comes from. But we should just, I think, correct it for our peoples, so that it's known that the detailed report is as reported in the previous PRRR, and whether imminent threats may still be there at this point in time. I think that will manage, to put it that way. I think there's a missing... Yes.
I'm not necessarily opposed to your proposal, but I prefer a frank presentation on my part. What you are saying, correct me if I'm wrong, what you are saying is that instead of putting the recommendation as is, we remove it, but we say in the recommendation that maybe in the next sitting with them, we would need possibly a progress report in terms of that threat, those threats, yes. Yeah. Is that the understanding? Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Can we then get back to this MTTA one? Remember, part of what has a problem is reported causing stability was the board itself. And you said nothing about the board. I'm saying even in the observations. Remember, Parliament had a process that it started, and that process was for the fifth Parliament. And there's never been the appointment of that board. As things stand, the board is what, five? Five members. And whenever one is not there, it means that there's no quorum for the board. And then there was an issue about an inquiry that the board member presented to the committee, that they were looking at something like that. So I just thought maybe that's also something to look at, because from the point of the ministry, MTTA is not with comms. It is with the president. Right? So that at least we can also activate the minister on the side of the presidency to brief us on the process, so that where the committee needs to take further action, that action could be taken. I hope that's cleared. On 11, so that my rating of 11 up until the last was different. This is supposed to go to the quarterly report. Yes. Okay.
All right. For those that are at 11, in the main, it will be the matters we dealt with in our court and court. But the understanding is that they've been brought in because they've not been responded to, and they have implications for the budget process. And therefore, it would mean that the report will be tabled for consideration by the House. Is that agreed? Agreed. If that's the case, can I then go back, because we made corrections and all that? Can I get members just for formality that we adopt the report with the corrections that we've made? So let's just formalize that process. On the first one on the TPS that we dealt with, Honorable Mutembo, Honorable Fagu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I propose adoption of the report with all amendments and corrections made. Thank you.
Honorable Fagu. Okay, second it. Honorable Fandam, you wanted to speak.
We, with the DA, would like to reserve our opinion.
Okay, so the DA is has registered the view. Can we move then to the next one? On cons? Can I get for adoption, Honorable Kubega?
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption with those amendments that they have been put in and those corrections. I thank you, Chair.
Second. Honorable Fagu?
Second, Chair.
So that then takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is the adoption of the quarterly report. We'll start with the one on communications. We'll be taking a similar approach of page by page and then focus more on what we observed and recommended for the quarter. On page one, we're dealing with the one on communications, quarterly reports. Page one. On page two. And on page three. Page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9, and on page 10, page 11, on page 12, page 13, on page 14, which is where we start with observations, page 15, now on page 16,
sorry, Chief.
Yes,
give
page.
Us a minute. We just got stuck with the first report that the Council has been saying.
All right. You're on page? Thank you. just check the updated one. No, the 2 days. What? Okay. Oh, no. It means on page 13. Yes, that's the request 2 days. And it started 2 days. Yes. Yes. Oh, no, I've got the original one. So it's fine. Can we then go back to the updated one? No, let's just say, no, when you have many of these documents, we've got four copies. I'm saying, I started with the communication, right? Let's just be sure we have the same document. That is 13. Yes, that's 13. That's the updated version. 13 pages. Yes, it's because mine was not the updated one. Right. Sorry for that. But in any way, you don't have issues there on the recommendations. Honorable McKenzie, I just got affected by you. You understand what I mean? So I went to the old version, which is not the updated version. Sorry for that. Sorry for that. Right. So on the communications one, but I just want to go back again there. On the observations, you do not have any issue there, which is page 11 of the update. Page 12 speaks to the resolutions of the committee. Then page 30, still recommendations.
Sorry,
yes. Honorable McKenzie, page?
I beg your pardon. If I can just take you back to page 9. My apologies for this. The second paragraph. BBI's reported year-to-date fruitless and wasteful expenditure discovered amounted to 16,500 rand, which is made up of...
Honorable McKenzie?
Yes.
Let's help each other there. As I said, you affected me a bit, so I must also help you to get back. You are the TBS now, I want to talk about. So we went back to the one with the 13 pages. So on communication, you don't have an issue to raise. Agreed? No. Smart. No, he made a mistake. So that's why I accept the mistake, because he affected me before. Honorable McKenzie, we agreed that we are on the updated version of the communications report, which had 13 pages. Yeah, 13 pages. You saw that? That's on communication. We'll then now move to the DTPS one. So that's it? Okay, that's all good. So we'll table the report for consideration. Right? Okay. Just want to be sure that I have the same report you have now. The DTPS one and the page 18 with the recommendations that end at 23, but with Roman figures, right? That's 23. So I'm trying to also get back to those numbers. They're not important. That's 23. That's the document we're in now. Honorable McKenzie, are you having that one?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. If we are on that, we will now go to page 1 again. On page one, it is the introduction and the organizational environment, just to be sure we are on the same document. That's DTPS. Or you want to go to communication? On communication. Okay. Page?
Are we taking into consideration this 6.5? What I want to understand is that, is it because of the budget or what is happening? Because even in the last, there was no report on the site of the brand SA. Can I just get a clarity there? Because now the brand SA, if you can recall, they never present whatever. Or is it because of the budget? Because now the budget is it still here in the Department of Communication?
Honorable members, you'd remember that, Honorable Kubeka, at the time of the quarterly report, when they presented, the department indicated that, which included MDDA at the time, we never had a presentation from them, but they were with the other side because they went to the president. However, there was still a due process legally to transfer the budget to the other side. And at that time, it had not happened. So remember that the report we are adopting is that quarterly report. That's what we're doing. So it's still in order based on the quarterly report. Clear? All right. So can you get back then, page one, on the DTPS one? On page one, Honorable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. We are together. Chair, the last paragraph, the department is comprised of seven public entities, and then it goes on to name them, and it names eight. And that's because I would imagine USASA and USAF are count as one. But as entities, they report as two. They both produce separate annual reports. So I would say we should change that to eight public entities. Thank you, Chair.
Shouldn't be a problem for clarity. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Page seven. Page eight. Page nine.
Sorry.
Page eight.
Yeah.
Honorable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. BBI's, I'm sorry, Chair, I'm actually on page nine. BBI's reported year-to-date fruitless and wasteful expenditure discovered amounted to 16,500, the second paragraph on page nine, 16,500 rand, which is made up of interest charged on late payments, mainly by Eskom and local municipalities. That's all right, I can actually make sense of it now. Thank you, Chair, never mind.
Thank you.
We can then move forward on this one. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. Page 13. On page 14. We now start with the observations of the committee. Page 15. Thank you. Honorable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Just on page 15, the last point, 17XV11, that the separation of SAPO and Postbank will compromise SAPO. It wasn't compromised. Would bring into question the SAPO's ability to operate as a going concern. I think that's the concern around that. So if we can just put in there, will affect SAPO's ability to continue as a going concern. Thank you, Chair.
I think that we agree with that observation. That's what you observed. Well, now on page 16. Page 17, that's the recommendations. Honorable McKen.
Thank you, Chair. Just on 8.1. The committee resolved it will pull the National Treasury to present on its rationale. It's not to pull assets of Postbank, but to separate the Postbank from the Post Office Group. On the rationale behind the separation of the Postbank from the Post Office Group. Thank you, Chair.
I think there's clarity there. This will agree again on that one. I also have to say correction to be made. Because it was about the separation that they need to give us the rationale. Any other matter on the recommendations? On page 18. Just on
XIS, yes? Yeah, maybe I'll just be repeating myself. Most of our recommendations have got no timelines. Generally, I don't want to be specific, but I've just gone through most of them. My worry is that we just say insure, and then we'll do the insure for the next 5 years. So maybe we need to find some timeline and let me stop there.
Yeah, maybe just before we get to the timelines, Honorable McKenzie, and then I'll come back to XIX.
Thank you, Chair. Just under under point 18, XV111. The department should ensure that the policy in respect of digital terrestrial television is reviewed and that alternative methods to the distribution of set-top boxes is investigated. I don't think we were talking about the distribution, which was through SAPO. We were talking about alternatives to set-top boxes. For instance, the department was talking about vouchers, or you could, given a certain amount, go get a digital television, that sort of thing. So it wasn't the distribution of such. I think SAPO is acknowledged as the distribution channel for set-top boxes. It was rather around the provision of set-top box solutions. Thank you, Chair. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but I recall that. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lala. Just on that point, I think we're taking the same approach on both reports. once we have adopted them today, not the House, because this is just the quarterly report, 30 days after that, we must receive responses from the ministry. Okay? But I think the point to raise at this point is just what we have already dealt with in the other report we've adopted on the issue about the policy, that is the XIX1. We said that must be presented back to the committee on that report. Maybe if we can just add that, so that that 30 days also means that they will present the policy. Just for us to be consistent, not say one thing in the House and say something else on the matters we ourselves need to follow up. Otherwise, the report is presented for yourselves now to move the adoption of the report. So I will start. Honorable Mukwena?
No, I'm just looking at on page 17.1, on point number 1. So the if you look at it in conjunction with page 15, the last point, where it says that the separation of SAPO and Postbank will compromise SAPO partly because of the declining revenues and so on and so forth. And the next point about the chief executive, Mark Barnes. I think the observation on page 15 is wrong in that there was, if you remember, there were two opposing views, that of the department and National Treasury as opposed to Mark Barnes's point of view on the separation of Postbank and SAPO. Right? So if we leave the last point on page 15 as it is, it sounds like the committee agreed with National Treasury and the department. Or whereas we just received that information. So I think it would be more correct to say that the committee noted the department's view that the separation of software and so on and so forth. Because it sounds like we're taking sides. And then in the next page, we then say we're still going to hear National Treasury, if I'm making sense.
I hope honorable members, you understand it's raising an alignment question so that what we say is understood. That Treasury has not yet presented to us on their rationale on why they would look at things differently. However, 15 is as though the committee has adopted a position. And therefore, there will be no reason to hear Treasury, so I hear you. I just hope, members, you understood. It's not to take out the fact that Treasury must come and give us the rationale. The department has already given us their side, right? However, there's an issue from Treasury, so we need to look at that. So it's an alignment so that our resolution and the observations we have made are aligned. So I hear that point, I'm sure members will have a problem with that. Honorable Mlal?
No, I don't think we have a problem. We agree. I just want to raise the concern because I have seen with NPA, because when Treasury does not directly report to us, it's very difficult to have them in our committee. Maybe we must devise a new way of getting information without, because we may wait for Treasury for the next year because they are always with SCOPA and Finance Committee. So maybe we also need to improve our relation with other subcommittees. I'm just raising that as a concern because we may resolve this and then
at the end of the day, treasury is not available. The same situation happened with NPA. So we may end up delaying what we could be addressing. Maybe, I don't know, but we need to find a better way as a committee.
Addition on that point, one on page 17, it's really to say that also explore in our engagement with Treasury, it also includes exploring joint committee sittings with the finance side. Did I capture you correctly?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. So that we don't wait for problems, but we have options. Okay. So with those amendments and the alignment, can we then agree that maybe let's start with this report because your mind is still fresh on that. On the DCPS one, the quarterly report, with the amendments that have been made, do we understand members to be saying we adopt the report? Of course, with an understanding that 30 days after today, we'll be asking for those reports as a last recommendation, a writer involved in both reports. DTPS one, that we've just dealt with, can you move up our adoption of the report? Honorable Mlala?
Yeah, Chair, I move with the for the adoption with amendment as you presented.
Okay.
Thanks.
Honorable Fagu? Quarterly report, place for adoption of the committee. Mover for adoption. Honorable McKenzie. Honorable McKenzie.
Yes, I move.
You move. That's what you want to hear.
Thank you very much.
I second that. Honorable Kubera.
I second it.
I need you here.
I want you to record so that that catch up is not a problem. Okay, that at least takes us to the next item. Okay. We'll now take a briefing from the content advisor on the processes that relates to ICASA. And I'm sure you remember that initially in our program, we had planned for the shortlisting. But I'm sure we all understand if we don't have what to shortlist, it gets to be a difficult one to deal with. And therefore, we needed to be briefed where things are since we approved the advert, and therefore, how do we take that process forward on our minutes. But I also take it that members had an opportunity of looking at the presentation itself that has been circulated. So it will be good that you take us to the key areas to look at, and we'll be able to deliberate ourselves on the way forward. Mr. Malika.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Morning, Honorable Members. As advised by the Chairperson, I will stay from the details of the presentation, focus on the key issues. But I think that I'm hoping that rather members do have a copy of the little booklet. But if you don't, I will, if the need arises, I will read from mine so that at least we're on the same page on the key issues that are raised in the Act. But just also to remind members that we did have an advert going out to the public, which closed on 27 September, and that was necessitated firstly by the removal through this Parliament of the former chairperson of the council, Mr. Mosaloha, but also emanating from a concern that was raised through the ISD office, but also by the ministry that a number of councillors' terms were coming to an end, and I've highlighted them all in red, one being the current acting chairperson, Mr. Modime, whose term and the other three councillors ends April 2020. So for continuation purposes, it will be necessary for us to ensure that, you know, there is a seamless handover of activities at the regulator. The other councillors whose term are coming to an end include Mr. Mashile, Mr. Peter Zimri, as well as Ms. Mukhele, also around the same time. Just to go through the known assumptions from the part of Parliament is that, of course, you know, when we set out adverts, we do get inundated with a lot of responses. Some of the people not necessarily responding to the particular advert of the job. So because people, most of the time, you know, are in need of jobs, so they just apply. Some want internships. So it's safe to say that, you know, through the HR process, we've learned that some of the applications we don't even consider, we won't bring them up to the committee. The second one is that the qualifications process, check process, takes about 3 to 5 days for the local qualifications, but it could take longer for international qualifications. Of course, it depends per country and how we source that information. And also to say that this is dealt with in the Act, that you know, what we submit to the minister is usually 1.5 number of the people of the advertised, of the people that should be appointed. In our case, we're advertising for 5 posts, so therefore we'll have 3 people to interview per post, and the total number of people that will be submitted to the minister would be 8. And of course, the committee can debate whether they want to increase the number of people to be interviewed, but in terms of the number of people to be submitted to the committee, it's quite steadfast that it would be 8 if we go by the principle of 1.5. The qualifications verification process is done through Parliament with whichever service provider that is appointed for the purpose, and that upon the final list of nominees, of the shortlisted nominees, consent forms through our support staff will be communicated with those people in terms of, you know, the process that will be engaged in before the interviews. And the principles that guide us for this process are from Section 5 to 9 of the CASA Act. And like I say, I won't go delve deeper into the contents of the actual act per se, but maybe focus on the one part that has to deal with you know, the public participation, because it's really critical. I think since ICASA is a Chapter 9 institution, it's really important that we emphasize this point, that participation by the public in the nomination process should be considered. Also, that there should be transparency and openness, and that we do publish the short list of candidates for the appointments. Yeah, I'll skip all the other parts on the Act, with the hope that the members will engage the Act first. As I said, that is Section 5 till 9 that deals with it. And I'll move on to slide number 15. Where we look at the actual process that we will be following. It's a more high-level process. So as you see that the process begins with number A there, where Parliament initiates the process to appoint councillors. Process B, which is what we'll probably have to finalise today, how many people are we going to interview and shortlisted, and how many will be submitted to the committee, which I have alluded to. The third one, which is C, is actually that resolution, that if the members do agree that we are going to interview 15 people and we'll submit 8 to the ministry. The small processes C1 and C2 are really about this public participation process, as well as, you know, ensuring that the HR component of it is conducted, i.e. the qualifications and security clearance. And then, of course, we'll conduct the interviews, and then there's a resolution. apologies to the MDD. It was meant to say ICASA. But yeah, the final resolution will come from, will be tabled to the National Assembly. So, in terms of the process, of course, it will take us probably about a week and a half for the engagement, public participation process. So, starting from today, if we're not shortlisting today, by the way. So, anyway, from the date that we shortlist, we'll at least provide about 7 days or working days to ensure that the processes of security clearance as well as qualifications check is processed. We usually give it about 2 weeks maximum, but it will depend on what timelines we set for ourselves so that National Assembly can take the final resolution. On page 17 is still the same, just a more breakdown of the shortlisting process in terms of the qualifications check, verification, the state security, and as well as the publishing of the names of the nominated persons. And the next slide on 18 is just the timelines again. Of course, they'll have to change because when I was under the impression we're shortlisting today, but I don't think that's the case. Yeah, and that's it, Honorable Chair. But like I said, I think that members can engage the Act just to find out what the prescripts of the Act are saying in as far as guiding us in the nomination process. Thank you, Chair.
President, honorable members, I think amongst other things that you need to guide on, I'm sure you've picked up those, is the number of people to be shortlisted per vacancy, so that we give guidance to that capture rate and so on. Right? But also how we want to take the process forward ourselves. Honourable Mackenzie, I want to be clarified on a few things first.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just before we go into shortlisting, if the applications are closed on the 27th of September, do you have any idea how many people have applied? Thank you, Chair.
You can respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Mackenzie. As Mr. Maleka has alluded, that we also receive quite a number of applications from people who are looking for other employment, probably not understanding what is contained in the Act. We are 75% done with the keep sharing, and we just had to pause it a little bit and focus on this BRRR process. So now that the two reports have been adopted, we'll continue with the capturing, and we should be able to provide the exact number in the next week. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. The reason for my question is just I'm just looking for an idea. Is it 1,000 applications? Is it 200? Because, or is it 20? Because that would obviously inform our decision. You know, if you can just give us a rough idea of how much it is, you can come back next week and tell us accurately. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Bakker, the round figure is about 75. But we're still just taking those around, but we're looking at probably around 75 nominees. Thanks, sir. That is of at least candidates who are either meeting or close to meeting the record, but you know those intent runs. Yes, thank you, sir.
I was saying,
so if there are 75 and you're at 75%, then you're looking at about 100 people.
Okay.
No. Fine. I thought you were putting through an application. I think with that clarity, we still need to get back to the point that we need to decide on.
so that when you go and work, you know what you are working on. You wanted to come in, Honorable Mulala and Honorable Mbeka.
Yeah, Chair, before I get to the number of people, I wanted to check with Mr. Malega that in your presentation, the assumption is that the panel is going to be constituted by all of us, as committee members. You've not said anything about the panel. We need to expect advice on the process. Are we fine? So all those areas, I think, if you can just comment on them so that I can have an idea of whether that my assumption is correct.
Honorable Mukwena, then there will be Honorable Kubeka.
No, just in conjunction to the previous question, said Chair, the process of shortlisting, is it possible for us to get an appraisal of how that happens, what are the conditions, and so on and so forth, so that when we get to the actual shortlisting itself, we know what we're dealing with. Yeah.
Better you'd want him to respond first. Okay. And then come back on.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I was trying to spare the members from the detailed legislation, but now that it's raised, perhaps I should start by saying that the precedent was that in the past we internally managed the process for appointing of council members for ICASA. That does not necessarily mean that the committee cannot take a different route, but as the Act prescribes on Section 5, Subsection 1. Section 5.1a. It says that NA must submit to Minister a list of suitable candidates, at least one and a half number. And B, it says that the National Assembly may invite technical experts to assist in the selection, evaluation, and appointment process of councillors. And that's the onus would be on the committee, whether they want to do that. And in terms of what is contemplated, as Honorable Mukwena had raised, there's a whole list of prescription on the type of expertise that is needed within the in terms of the experts that we invite, the technical expertise, but also in terms of the people that we require to serve on the board. There's a whole section that deals with that. Yes, 6.1, I think. Yeah. It's that's the disqualification. Yes, that one of the appointment is actually on. Just a second, members. 5.1. Sorry, just a second. I'm mixing up my keys. 5.7. Yeah, I was correct. It was actually 5.something. 5.C, yes, subsection C. Mm-hmm. And it says the experts contemplated. No, this experts one. Sorry, Chairperson. I must just get to the one that I'm referring to. Okay, now I think I've got it. It's subsection 3 on section 5. And it says that when persons appointed to the council must be persons who are committed to fairness, freedom of expression, openness, and accountability on the part of those entrusted with the governance of the public service. And B, when viewed collectively, are representative of the broad cross-section of the population of the Republic, and possess suitable qualifications, expertise, and experience in the fields of, amongst others, broadcasting, electronic communications, and postal policy or operations, public policy development, electronic engineering, law, information technology, content in any form, consumer protection, education, economics, finance, or any other relevant expertise qualifications. I think I heard that slide somewhere other day. Yeah, it's section 5, number 3. I hope that answers Mr. Bennett.
Another process,
because
that's what he also asked.
Yeah,
process. Tim?
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, previously the full committee often dealt with the appointments. However, it has happened in the fifth parliament, the first half of the fifth parliament, where the committee established a subcommittee from the members of this committee to deal with the statutory appointment, and that also, if you look at the rules of the assembly, NA rule 229 may also makes that provision that the portfolio committee may appoint a subcommittee from among its members to assist the committee with its work. We've explored both, Chair, as this committee, I'm sure Honorable Member Van Damme would agree to that, as she's previously served in the committee, where we had a subcommittee of the that reported to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
I don't agree to a subcommittee. It must be all of us. That's what we did in the last term.
Honorable Funder, maybe just get the point he was making as a reference to you. It's not a decision to make now, but what he's referring to is that from experience, you know you were there. There was a time when there was a SAC committee. Remember, we are now going to make contributions as members. Okay. No. And I'm worried that you may say as if you as well. So let's get to the point. Honorable Nguyen, the processes you asked about, you think you are covered on that point? So that I
yeah,
don't get
to.
Yes, okay. Honorable Kubega?
No, thank you, Chair. I think the Secretary has responded to what I wanted to understand, to say, is it possible us, as this committee, maybe to elect the subcommittee? So he has already covered me.
The presentation, we now have to develop a way forward. Firstly, it's also on the number of people, so we shouldn't leave the number of people to be shortlisted per vacancy available. But maybe just on the disqualifications part, there's an issue about exceptions. Right. If we can also get maybe the legal side of Parliament to also advise us properly on that, especially when it relates to exceptions. I think members who have read the Cabinet statement would see that there are other boards that have been appointed. And if the names that are similar to current sitting are not addressed, so that you get to understand the legal position on that. I think that's important to look at it. Okay. Where you are in one board and then also in the cast. Now I'm raising it from a point that the Act says full-time. What does that mean? But those may be matters you'll come back to report to us on, so that by the time you kickstart the shortlisting, we are not found wanting on things that could have resolved long before. Right? But also happy that you would look at the issue of qualification, verification, and so on. Is that there's always different schools of thought on that? that why should I shortlist you first and then go later to say you don't meet this, and that what are the possibilities of leaving the one that may have been in there, you know, to look at the matter. But you can deal with those yourself. Can we then just agree on the process, how we want to take the process forward? As I say, any member who speaks, please don't leave the point about a guidance on the numbers. There's a proposal about three in terms of a presentation, three per vacancy, if one needs to put it that way. And then also whether we want to do it as a full committee and what could be reasons for that. And if you want subcommittee, why go that route? So can we just have that discussion so that we are able to close the item in a proper way? Or you want to clarify something first? Okay, come.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to appraise the members that the issue on the disqualification, what we usually do is we wait for the shortlisted people to take them under the process of security clearance and qualification checks, because if you really think about it, if we have, say, an odd 100 people to take through state security, it's almost impractical within the timelines to conclude that. So rather we wait for the shortlisted number of people, then immediately we take those people through the rigorous process of checking the qualifications and compatibility to the post.
Now, members,
we
didn't get to how we take the metaphors. Those are the hands I'll take now. So I know, Honorable Van Damme, you were like kick-starting the discussion. So that's where we are now, the discussion. Cut off. Honorable Van Mukwena.
So in the initial stages, I would suggest that the process of shortlisting must not be handled by politicians. So the committee must not be part of, even if there's a subcommittee, the politicians must not be part of that process. And then we can have the shortlisting. I don't have a problem with the number. It can be 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter. Probably 3 is a respectable number.
Honorable Van Damme, Honorable Mulala, and then Honorable Kupeta.
Chair, we must do the shortlisting in terms of the Act of the National Assembly. So it is up to us to look through the CVs like we always have, comb through all the CVs and find suitable candidates. As it's been done in the past, we all bring our names and we motivate and we lobby each other. So we must shortlist.
Chair, I think on the first proposal, I'm worried about the technical part of the agreeing on the number before we do the shortlisting. And I'll tell you why. If we shortlist 15 people and then out of 15, half of them, after being vetted, they don't qualify, what do we do? We have a lesser number of people we must interview. So it's just the technical part. It's not necessarily the disagreement in terms of the number. To say, if you say, okay, for now, we want 8, we interview 15. And then after shortlisting 15, we take them to security services for vetting. And then the result comes out and half of those people are out. What do we do? Do we interview the 8? Because it will lock us into a process where of exclusion. Somebody can query and say, no, you deliberately put 15, knowing that 8 does not qualify, and then so on and so on. So I'm just saying that part is the gray area. I wanted to come back to the issue of, I think I'm covered by Van Damme in terms of, because the Act says Parliament, so it can be delegated to somebody else. Otherwise, it will create a problem. If you delegate it to somebody, and then there's a mess later on, who's going to account for that? It's Parliament, so it's us who must do the work. That one I agree. But in terms of the whole committee doing the interviews, I don't think it's an ideal thing from where I'm sitting, because the party representative is still, the ratio will still remain the same irrespective of whether it's the whole committee or it's the subcommittee. We still have the same representation. Unless I'm convinced that the representation will change, if it's a full complement. But for me, it will be ideal to have a smaller, because it's not necessarily automatic that when we are in the committee, all of us want to do the shortlisting, the appointment. But if we can agree at the party level to say, okay, fine, we can be represented by these people in terms of the proportion and so on. If the fear is if somebody is excluded, there will be a different result. Even in your full complement, it's still the same setup. So for me, both options, but I would prefer to have a subcommittee if I were to convince the House that the subcommittee with the same representation proportion is still fine, because you don't really need a whole lot of all of us just to do small administrative things of say who qualifies. As long as all parties are represented, whatever we do, it will be transparent. That's my view. Maybe let's hear other people's view. But maybe before we finalize that, let's get this one of the 15, because I'm just worried. If it has never happened, maybe I'm setting a new precedent. We can still live with 15. But my worry is when you do that, you don't know the other side. What will be the outcome? It might impact on the very interviews. That's my view. Maybe if I were to propose before you make a point, if we make 20 at least, for me, it's not far from 15. Because the other question would be, if we arrive at 20 and out of the 75, 50 people qualify, are we not risking being taken to court? That now look, you have agreed on 20, but in terms of the 75 applicants, 50 have qualified. Why did you exclude them? So I'm just raising those issues so that we look at them. I'm not saying I'm opposed to any proposal. I'm just looking at the shortcomings, because this process is also have got public interest. If you're dealing with something that has got public interest, you must be as transparent as possible, be fair, as fair as possible. So if you are to say, no, we can't exclude, we want 20 and then 30 that qualify, something else. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mackenzie, I noted you.
No, I think Chair Honourable Mulala has covered me, as I wanted to understand, to say, from that 75, because are you saying that 75 is the number that qualifies? Or it's more or less you are making an estimation? I want to know exactly what Honorable Mulala is saying. If all those people are qualifying to be there in that shortlisting, what? Oh, you wanted to come? Okay. Yeah, that's where I wanted, because I don't want us finding the issue of saying people are taking us to court whilst we know that they were supposed to be there, and on the other hand, it's us who are determining with that number. That is why I wanted that clarity. But I'm with Honorable Mulala to say, even on the issue of the committee, let's have a subcommittee, and it will be represented in that manner, as we are saying, as a proportional, because we know from one party to another how are we in the committee. And then if it's like that, it's much more easier, instead of the whole committee as it is being the panel which will make those interviews. Thank you.
Karet, you want to clarify the caption.
I'm sorry, Chair.
Honorable, that you. So
yeah, that before he answers that question, I just have a slight addition, Chair. Sorry.
Okay, so then McKenzie
yeah,
come.
Sorry, Honorable McKenzie. Yeah.
It's a Scottish relationship.
Lingo. Yeah. Chair, I don't know, because if the Act says, maybe Mr. Malega must also help him in responding, and if the Act says it's National Assembly that do the shortlisting and the interviews, by implication, it says the National Assembly must also develop a minimum shortlisting criterion. Yes, we know the qualification, but maybe because some of us are from public service, we understand this process that even when we have stated the qualification, there's a minimum program that we develop as a panel. To say, if you say, for instance, you want 10 years experience and only to find only 3 people have 10 years experience, does it mean then you remove everybody else from the panel to start afresh? Or what does it mean? Or do we have a minimum sort of shortlisting criteria based on the qualification, not anything outside the qualification, based on the qualification, and say, okay, this one will rate them, for instance. Sometimes we say qualification first, sometimes we say both qualification and experience. You do a minimum requirement. Does it mean the panel will do that on the day of the shortlisting? Because already we have advertised, we know what qualifications are needed. Maybe if you can also clarify that, because I don't want us to sit in a panel day and then start something that may be questionable, so that we become more transparent and open and say, guys, this is if you respond to that, Chair, I would be happy.
Honorable McKenzie,
sorry, I'm just speaking to his point. In terms of the criteria in the Act, so as long as we limit ourselves to the criteria in the Act, we can shortlist anyone, as long as they don't have a criminal record, and that's going to be part of the vetting we do. I mean, so from that list, the people who have been vetted, and some of them have criminal records or whatever the disqualifications are in the Act, that's the limitation for us. Other than that, if we decide to do, what is the total number again, Bo? 15. So if we choose 15, people bring names, and then we look at the names and then we debate whether or not a specific candidate must be on the shortlist. We get all the CVs, right? So we get all the CVs once we've done the vetting, and the people who don't meet the requirements are removed on the pack, right? Then we get the rest of the CVs, and from however many CVs it is, even if it's 100, from that 100, we narrow it down to 15, yeah. So that's the only limitation. So nobody can go to court. It's our decision. If we don't shortlist you, ish.
Honorable McKenzie, I'm sure your delegation is well taken care of.
Just one more thing, Chair. Chair, I would also support the entire committee doing the interviews. I think it creates cohesion and, more importantly, creates continuity. If you're going to interview several people, you've got to be there from the beginning of the process to the end. And if you're not, you need to have a deputy in place who can brief you appropriately. You know, otherwise you haven't seen all the candidates. So I would suggest that as a committee, we have the numbers, we have the resources. Let's interview these people and draw up a shortlist. Thank you, Chair.
Response.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a misunderstanding from Honorable Fandash. I want to emphasize the point I'm raising, because I think it's very, very crucial. Even if you agree on 15, there must be a minimum criteria that you agree, that you use
Ne? Because if you don't have that, you can't say then people can take you to court. Because if I prefer this one, and then it's not more qualified than this one, but I did not prefer this one, in terms of that criteria. So I wanted clarity on that one, so that Honorable Fandam does not feel that I'm excluding what she's raising. But the point I'm making is that for you to arrive at 15, if you have 75 people, there must be a minimum criteria at the shortlisting process that all parties agree to. You don't understand what I'm saying. The Act says you must do the Act. It's fine. The Act even says these are the qualifications. But the Act does not give you... I don't know if they understand.
Let's allow a response. But at some point, would need to guide the way forward on the item. Also, side to Mr. Can you have responses?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, maybe I didn't put it clearly like at first. Firstly, this committee, it's the responsibility of this committee to shortlist candidates. So, unfortunately, Thembi Nkosi cannot qualify and disqualify people. So, basically, the manner that we have people that at least have adhered to what to the advert, particularly in terms of how you apply for these vacancies. And the other CV that you take out, Honorable Mayor, many people would say, I'm looking for an internship. Unfortunately, then that person would be applying in the wrong place. Or someone that would say is looking for a security job, because we do get such applications as well. But at least there is a process of how you submit your application, whether you are nominated, you accept that nomination, you forward your CV, your qualifications, and all the other documents. Those are the people that we are talking about. But it is this committee that will then look at the Act and say, this one, yes, we can shortlist or we cannot shortlist. I cannot, unfortunately, say there's 75 qualifying candidates that are there, but we do have a number of candidates that have adhered to the advertisement requirements. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Not to labor too much on what Mr. Ngoma is saying, but I think the point is quite clear that there has to be a nomination process. So if you nominate, you can nominate yourself, but we still need on record to say that you nominate yourself. So if you just say, I'm applying for, we automatically put you aside, but it does not necessarily give us the right to say this person is qualified or not. So on that aspect, I think it's sorted. The other issue I wanted to say to members is that a process that we undertook through the SABC, and which I would probably table for the committee, is to look at the current skills that are at the council and say, what kind of skills do you want to complement the current council that's there? Do you want more females or do you want more males? These are some of the criteria that the committee should decide on, so that you get to the core of what you want. Maybe you want a person with more skills in the frequency planning. I'm just making an example. Or more so than someone who's got media policy skills. So those are the kind of debates that would at least assist the committee to zero down on the number. In terms of the three people per interview, it's just a precedence that we've had. We're not saying it's cast in stone that you must interview three people per post. It could be 10 people per post. If the committee has the appetite to sit through that many interviews, that would be 50 interviews, then we don't have a problem with it. We'll support the committee nonetheless. Thank you, Chair. I hope it clarifies it.
Before I come back to Honorable Malan, Honorable Gwen?
No, I'm clarifying, Chair. So it means then that the only thing that is left for this committee to do now is to decide on whether we need to have a subcommittee or not. That's one. And two, to decide on deadlines, on dates. When is what going to be done? Right? I think if it's a number, 3, 5, it doesn't matter. So if we've always been doing 3, I think let's stick to the number and then move like that. I think that's because,
just to give direction as to this time.
I think with that clarity, let us just get to the points we need to decide on this. There's a proposal on whether we look at subcommittee, and it's a proposal that says we should probably look at the whole committee. But informed also by the work you've done, that the work says we'll get probably verified, captured list by next week. And I think we should weigh that also against the other work that the portfolio must still continue to do, because the process of disappointment, if aligned only to the portfolio program in terms of the dates we have, will not do justice to it, right? Because the portfolio committee must also do its work. And I think if this is raised not in the context of exclusion of members to participate, but in any way, it's unless one's wrong. If you put out the subcommittee, that subcommittee reports to you. But Honorable McKenzie are raising a valid point also, that there must be consistency of those members who do, especially the interviewing side, that you must have seen all candidates. The reality of the matter is that even portfolio committee members participate in different portfolio committees. Right? So we do have such situations where you would not find members all the time coming to the same committee. I think we should put all that, you know. But at least the law also allows us to balance the issue you've raised on that. Maybe you also need experts sometimes to help in this regard. However, the law says we must do it, but we may get that on board, just to be sure that we're doing things accordingly. And when you look at that, probably a subcommittee may look at those issues better than us every time putting it on the portfolio agenda. I was listening now, there was already an attempt like, we are already there, so we'll end up, I'm saying just disagreements on understanding the process, whereas in the subcommittee it could have been understood better, and we can interrogate it with more time outside of the time of the portfolio committee. Right? It's unless there are other issues that may be legal about that. The other point really is to also follow up on the questions we've asked you. Legal standing on some of the people that I'm saying now, current sitting versus these new appointments we saw on the cabinet statement. Does that mean legally? So that those who do the shortlisting at least are empowered in looking at those matters. So I think that's the point there. But there's also a point about inclusion. That three may have been fine, maybe before. But I don't think there's anything that stops us, especially if we are recommending about two people in each for the minister to appoint. I mean, I can imagine in the three, it's more like the two is like determined outside. There's no real space to compete for what you want to have. So at the end, you don't get to make appointments. There's nothing bad like when you have to make appointments, you hear other issues later. And then they must be managed. When you could have at least opened up, I'm saying even that lobbying, I take it that it's still not names outside of the people that have been nominated duly so and have accepted nomination to participate. So it will still be within, but if you broaden up the number, it creates space for a better engagement on the names. So that's what I want to put before you as a committee, is that we should also weigh the program of the portfolio committee itself. And if you link this process to the times of the portfolio, would not do justice to it. Whereas if it's a subcommittee, then we need a program developed for that process. And you can be focused on it and deliver on it. Amongst other things you'll need to go back and look at is the advert itself. Remember, we have got an immediate vacancy of the chair who's not there. But the other four are sitting members or councillors. whose term expires next year. And you do know the decisions that you make in between, how they influence behavior and so on. I'm just saying we should be honest about that as members and find ways to better manage that certain things still have to happen. Portfolio is demanding that certain things have to happen in November on the spectrum issue, and you're dealing with appointment of members of councillors at the same time. So this is what we want to put before Honourable Van Damme. I hear you, Uteha Anizila, but I'm just saying, please, can we look at it in that way? That the subcommittee would help us better in that education. The portfolio must still continue with its planned dates for the portfolio work, including other additional items. We have asked that we want to do them before we leave for the break, calling SAPO, calling USASA, and so on, which are not in our program. We may need to amend the program to look at that. That's what we want to put. I want to put forward for the committee to consider. Otherwise, we can go to and fro about this number, that number, and so on. So I'll now allow hands for you to make your final comments, so to say, to have the way forward. Honourable Fana, Gwen LP1, followed by Honourable Pinsley from Dam 2. Any other member who wants to speak on the matter? Honourable Kumbu, Honourable Mtembu, and then Honourable Kubeka. Honourable Mtembu.
Because for me the most important thing is the characteristics of the candidates. How we get there, we already have legislation that guides us. So let's go with that. So I would suggest concretely that let's if the process of electing a subcommittee is solidified, let's go with that. Let's get that done, and then let's decide on dates, on when what must be done, and then let's go and lobby each other on names. So,
Honourable Funder?
I think our point is made, and there's no point in going to and fro. We would prefer that the whole committee participates in the process, because it allows for us to thoroughly interrogate each candidate. If it's a subcommittee, there may be other people who have different types of questions or look for different types of skills. So I think the whole committee type of process makes sure that each candidate is thoroughly interrogated. But it's quite clear that the subcommittee is what is the consensus on the other side, so let's move forward. But our point is we would prefer the full committee. So instead of 24.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to check something, maybe we can try to find. I just want to check as to whether from the application that is received, whether we are going to interview, because there is a vacancy of the chair and three other councillors. So I just want to check as to whether, in terms of those applications, they both qualify for the position of the chair and of the ordinary councillor in the council.
Maybe so that that question doesn't arise again. Remember, we are filling the vacancy of councillors. So the chair would have been a councillor first before appointed to the chair, and that appointment is elsewhere, not with the committee. So the committee is looking at those. However, the chair's one as a councillor was immediately vacant. I'm saying if you look at the argument. Then the four other members or councillors will only be next year. And that is why it's important how you make decisions in an intervening period when people are sitting there. Yeah,
other matters that need to be dealt with. I just thought I should clarify it immediately so that it doesn't come back. We're dealing with the councillors. And remember, all of them, Honorable Mlal, must be treated the same. So they are councillors, not a chair. Right? And that's why it's important to always remember that when we do the time. Honorable Tim.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, I'm covered by Honorable Ngwena on the issue of a subcommittee. I wanted to just support a proposal made for electing a subcommittee. Because I think, as the Chairperson explained, clearly explained, that the committee has its agenda or its program that needs to be dealt with. We can't, as a committee, just stick on this process choosing the candidates and all the processes. Actually, the processes need a close monitoring. That's what I want to say. So, as a committee, as busy as we are, we cannot just afford to just put more time on that one. Thank you.
I think most of us, we are swimming in the same boat with the issue of the subcommittee. And also to say, when we elect that subcommittee, it will develop that program which will work with whatever that needs to be in the issue of that the shortlisting and everything. Also, as you have alluded on the issues, what are we supposed just to concentrate on it in totality, on the issue of electing those councillor members? I think also there we are fully agree to say we will not just look the issue of qualifications, but all those things, it will be determined by that program that will be done, in order that we must have a sort of a criteria, a framework that will just guide us in order that we must finalize that process. So I'm also supporting Honorable Mgwena to say, let's have a subcommittee, and then it will deal with everything that we need to consider to those processes based on the issue of the FDA chair. Thank you.
Honorable members, can we just then agree, because it seems there's a sense of us coming together on understanding what the challenges we are dealing with. Can we agree that as part of the matters that will arise from minutes of today in the following portfolio committee, that we at least formally get a report on the timeline, the actual proof, so that we can measure it on those bases? And that's one issue. The second issue relates to the committee itself. That if it's a subcommittee, we also need to agree on the number, so that we are able to say, in that lobbying, whatever you call it, but the parties are proportionally represented. Can you forward the number 6? So that you also have fair representation, unlike 3 people where it reduces the number, and then you look at it proportionally. Can you look at that? Pardon?
No.
I know you are trying to keep the meeting awake. As I said, proportionally represented. So I knew you'd say that you are representing a consolidated view from that side, but yeah, that at least you remember it. It's not too bad. So that one is also not right. Can we then get back to the portfolio committee in Cape Town
because this is not in Joburg anymore. I think there's a sense there, honorable members, just to place it on record. Just to place it on record, we are looking at that number. Parties would have that discussion proportionally, submit that to the secretariat, so that at least that program itself can be discussed with the subcommittee members who participate. By the time it comes before us, we would have looked at it. I'm saying it because your program does not have a portfolio given the GovTech conference for next week. So we can't wait until the next portfolio. So those members can be given the info. So parties can sort that out. We know the proportion. Secondly, the secretariat, based on the work you've done, which includes checking the other legal aspects, we need that program by next week with clear timelines in terms of what happens when, so that as the committee we can monitor the work of the subcommittee that we've put together. And where there's a need to bring experts, we'll have to apply the law as it allows us to assist us in that regard. Something that we'll have to check also with Parliament, how are those accessed, so that we're not found wanting years as a committee. Do we agree? That's how we try and wrap this up. Then the numbers we have already dealt with that. Maybe just put them. Okay? Clear. If we are clear and the coalition from Joburg agrees, because I can see the other partners are now moving on this side, but I'm just saying agreed. So if we at least we agree, we move. All right. So can we then agree? That's how we resolve the matter. You've taken note of that. Okay? That takes us to the next item. Right? The next item is adoption, right? The next item is the adoption of minutes. And as I said, the minutes also were circulated, honorable members. And I do take note that you may also be having pressure of going to the house and so on. So in that regard, I would not really waste your time and just get to each page, the page that you want to raise questions on. Do you have the minutes? No, there was time playing with the minutes. No, give us a different page. So that's adopt. Oh, no, Comrade Mulala. We went through. So it would appear that there are no issues in the minutes except corrections that we have sent. And this sending of corrections, just for record, because the triple B, the BRRR report will also reflect the same. Just remember the ICASA, that formulation is wrong, in that it's not a licensing in the first week of November. They made that clear. They said it's an information memo on the licensing, so that there's no expectation that it is the case. And they said it's not what is prescribed in the legislation. That's a correction you sent for, but it's important that the committee understands that, because interchangeably we are using that and the licensing as though it's one thing. Okay? If that's agreed, can we have formal remover? It's Mulala.
Second? I second the chair.
Okay. Seconded by Honorable Kubega. And that completes the business for today. Any matter that you want to bring to the committee? So that takes us to the end of the meeting. Thanks, honorable members, for making time and meeting the house. I'm told there are refreshments outside and they would not want to be involved in fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Please, as you pass, utilize the refreshments.